There are many strange happenings in the wild country of British Columbia, and none more so than the singular event of coming into contact with a Sasquatch. In the indigenous tongue of a native people, the males are known as the Bukwas, and the females are named Sanaqua. The people who seek them out are known as Sasquatch researchers, and the following reports are from the files of one such man, Canada's preeminent Sasquatch researcher and seeker of the truth, Thomas Steenberg.
Okay, this incident is one of my favorites. It's known as the Crandall Campground. It's at Alberta's file 50032. In other words, investigation number 32 in my Sasquatch career. And I think one day this one may be looked upon as a classic, not only because of the circumstances of the incident, but how many witnesses were involved and the fact that the warden's office in the national park was involved. So it was a Crandall Campground incident, and it took place in Crandall Campground, which is located in Watkin Lakes National Park. The date this happened was the May 24th long weekend of 1988, and it's a long weekend. It's a holiday in Canada for our American listeners because that is the Queen Victoria's birthday, also known as the Victoria Day long weekend. I found out about this a little while after it happened. I got a phone call from one of the witnesses on August 24th, 1988. And she was known then, Susan Stone, has phoned to tell me of an incident which had occurred while she and her husband were camping with another couple at Crandall Lake Campground Site C3, which is located in Waterton Lakes National Park. By the way, the Waterton Lakes National Park is the extreme southwest lower corner of the province of Alberta, bordering on BC and the state of Montana. Mrs. Tonis told me her incredible story, and I made arrangements to interview all four witnesses at the Stonis' home. All four witnesses were interviewed separately and not within earshot of each other. I'll start off with our main witnesses, Susan Stoness herself, or as she's known now, Susan Ray Adams, as I believe the couple has since separated and divorced. Oh, by the way, just to give you an overflow, they were all sitting around playing cards at the picnic table by the fire pit, campsite C3. It's getting close to midnight. Scott and Susan decided they would go out down the trail that led to the public washroom facilities to brush their teeth. So they grabbed their towels and their toilet kits, and off they went. The other couples remained seated at the picnic table. Well, the only light in this area was ahead of them at the washroom facilities, which had a single light over the door entrances of each men's bathroom, women's bathroom, the laundry room, things like that. So all they saw was something standing, an outline was basically something standing on the trail between them and the washroom. But I'll start off with the questions and answers here. Ray Adams was interviewed first. Question, would you state your full name? Answer. Susan Ray Adams. She likes, and I got in brackets, she likes to use her maiden name. Kind of a hint of what was to come. Question, where did this incident occur? Answer, Watson Lakes National Park. Question, what date did this take place? Answer, the Sunday of the May 24th long weekend, 1988. Question, was it night or day? Answer, at night. Question, what time of night was it? Answer, approximately 10 to 1 in the morning. Question, describe the area for me in which this took place. Answer, it's on the outskirts of the campsite. The campsite is located about 15 miles outside of Waterton Town. She's referring to the small town in the park. Question, is it heavily treed? Answer, it is treed. There was a stream, she's referring to Blackstone Brook there, but the stream was about a quarter of a mile away through the bush. Question, what distance would you estimate you were from the thing when you saw it? Answer, when I first saw it, I would say I would be within 10 feet of it. I think I startled it. Question, what was your first reaction? My first reaction was it was a bear. Question, what was it doing? Answer, it was standing and looking at us. And then it grunted at us as we approached it. Question, did it stand and walk upright on two legs? Answer, it was standing on two legs. Question, did you ever see it go down on all four? Answer, never. Question, was it covered in hair? Answer, yes. Question, what color was it? Answer, I would say it was black or very dark brown. Question, how tall would you estimate this creature to have been? Answer, I would estimate it had to have been 8 feet tall as measured on a tree because we did check the next day. Question, what would you estimate its weight to have been? Answer, trailed off there. Then I came in heavy or light? Answer, it was pretty heavy. It was huge. I don't know, maybe 600, 700, 800. I have no idea. Question, did you see any facial features? Answer, no, not really. There was nothing pronounced, like a nose or anything. It was just kind of a flat face, I would say. Question, it was too dark to see its eyes, nose, and mouth? Answer, well, I saw it had eyes and a nose and a mouth, but I really didn't see anything distinct about it. It was just a flat face, I guess. Question, what color was its skin? Answer, I don't know. Question, could you describe its arms? A, yes, they were very long. The tips of its fingers came very close to its knees. They were really long. Question, could you see if it was male or female? Answer, no. Question, how long did you see this creature for? Answer, total? Question, yes. Answer, a minute, 2 minutes maybe, probably close to a minute. Question, did it ever make any noise? Answer, yes, it grunted at us. Question, did it see you? Answer, yes. Question, what was its reaction? Answer, it grunted at us. It sort of warned us because we were coming right at it. Question, did it seem scared or hostile? Answer, it didn't seem hostile. It didn't seem scared. I'm here. It just seemed to say, yeah, I'm here. It just kind of grunted at us, kind of like a warning. Did you smell any powerful odor before or during the sighting? Answer, no. After the creature moved off, did you check for footprints? Answer, the next morning we didn't find any. Question, did you report what you saw to park officials or police? Answer, yes. Question, did you report to anyone else? Answer, apart from friends, we've told nobody except you. Question, in your own words, describe what happened. Okay. Answer, it was about 10 to 1 in the morning on the Sunday. as I indicated, we have been playing hearts, card game. We have been out there, a couple of days, and we're relaxing a bit. It was very windy, and our cards got blown off the table, and I was getting quite tired by that time. My husband and I decided that we would go brush our teeth and then go to bed. We went to the car, got our toothbrushes and toothpaste, and we started down the beginning of the trail. That was very close to where our campfire was, and where Darren and Sharon still were. Darren and Sharon are the other couple. My husband held me by the hand, and we started down the trail. I thought I heard something, and I told him, I think I hear something. But he really didn't take notice of that, because I always hear stuff because I'm kind of scared at night. I kind of got scared at night. I mean, I took a couple of more steps, and then I saw a big hairy creature standing up in front of us, probably about 10 feet away. He grunted at us three times. Well, I screamed, "It's a bear," and I ran. I got into the car. One of the other fellows, Darwin, he got into the car with me while Shannon ran into the other car. We looked out and Scott still wasn't in the car. He was backing up slowly and he checked my door. I wouldn't let him in. I always get a kick out of that. When her husband came back, she wouldn't let him in the car. So he went to the other car that Sharon was in. I was quite upset. I wanted to honk the horn and wake up people in the campground. But Darwin put his arm on me and said, "No, just be calm, relax." And then he said, "Turn on the headlights." And two cars were bumper to bumper. So we put our headlights on and we looked around, didn't see anything. Darwin thought he saw something move by the fire towards the trail, but I didn't see anything. Then we yelled to Scott in the other car to turn on his headlights. Scott turned on his headlights, and we were looking at the back of the hatchback we were in. We were looking out the back window. My husband in the other car turned on his headlights, and in about 10 seconds after the headlights were turned on, the creature walked into the light. It was walking on that little ridge. I'm bad at guessing distance, but I would say maybe 30, 40, 35 feet or something like that in front of the headlights. They were just shining right on it. Kind of looked back at us, and it didn't break its stride. It was obviously getting out of there. It wasn't really scared or anything. It was just walking. It was about 8 feet tall, and it had long arms. Wasn't really fat like some of the pictures I've seen, but it was kind of slender. And its legs were really long, like they were disproportionate to the body. And that's what we saw. And my husband yelled something to the effect of, "Holy blank, 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 that's incredible. It's a Sasquatch." He yelled something like that. He wanted to leave the car and go after the thing. But we said no. We will drive around. We drove around the campground. We came to another truck that flashed its headlights at us. So we stopped. There were four other people in the cab of that truck. We told them that we saw what they said, and they said they saw something similar about 20 minutes earlier. But they were quite drunk. Only three of the four saw it. We went back to our campsite, and I would not get out of the car. I wanted to drive back to Calgary. Scott got back in the car with me, but he was no help at all because he went to sleep. I stayed up all night and watched the tree. But when the deer came back, I knew that it was all right and that the creature was gone. Darren and Shannon stayed up all night by the fire. You know, there are so many deer at this campsite that will eat out of your hands. A couple of hours before we saw this thing, I made the comment, "Where have all the deer gone?" like the deer had disappeared. And there weren't any deer around all that night. In the morning when I saw that the deer had come back, I knew it was safe. And the, whatever this thing was, it disappeared. The next morning, after such a little bit of debate, we decided to report it to the warden. By the way, for American listeners, in national parks in Canada, they're called wardens, not rangers. Yeah. So we went to the warden's office. And we had to wait for him. And when he showed up, we told him our story. Question, what was his reaction? Answer, his reaction was, I think he tried to convince us that we had seen a bear. That's the impression I got, because he kept saying, bears stand up on their hind legs. Are you sure it wasn't a bear? He was nice, but I think he thought we had seen a bear. And just to confirm that, when I talked to Al and Debbie, he did sort of say he tried to convince these people that it was a bear. The second witness was her husband, Scott Stonas, who was with her on the trail. I interviewed him next. His details was a little more interesting, in my opinion, because when his wife panicked and ran away from him, he slowly backed up and kept his eye on it. This is when they first encountered it on the trail. A question, state your full name, please. Answer, my name is Daryl Scott Stonas, but I go with Scott. Question, where did this incident occur? Answer, it was in Waterton Park. I believe the name of the park is, or the campground in the park is Crandall. Question, what date did this take place? It was a long weekend of May on the Sunday. Actually, it was early Monday, because it was early in the morning. Question, was it at night or day? It was at night. What time? Answer, about 1 a.m. I think it was irritating because I kind of asked the same question different way twice. Question, describe the area in which it took place. A, typical area from mountains, rocky trees, ridges, rocks, moss on them, you know. Question, what distance would you estimate you were from the thing when you saw it? Answer, I saw it twice. First time, it would have been at 10 to 15 feet. The second time, probably more around 45 to 50 feet. Question, what was your first reaction? My first reaction was, I didn't believe it. But when I turned on the headlights, car headlights in brackets, it occurred to me that this could be a Sasquatch. Question, what was it doing? Answer, the first time I saw it, me and my wife were going to the washrooms to brush our teeth, and it was standing right on the trail, watching us. And as we got closer to it, it snorted at us, kind of like a big bull. I don't know if you ever know what a bull snorts when he's chasing you, but I have, and that's what I thought it was. But I thought, then I thought it was a deer, so I kept pulling Susan. Finally, she yelled, it's a bear, with some pretty language involved. And everybody ran for the cars. Question, did it stand walk upright on two legs? Answer, it was always on two legs. Question, did you ever see it go down in old forest? Answer, no. Question, you never saw it go down in old forest? And he said again, no. Question, it was covered in hair? Answer, yeah. I believe it must have been dark brown or black because I looked straight at it on the trail, and I didn't really notice until after I thought back about it. Question, how tall would you estimate this thing to have? Answer, between 7.5 to 8 feet. Question, what would you estimate its weight to have been? Answer, it was proportionate to me. I'm 6 feet tall, so I would guess 500 pounds. Question, do you ever see any facial features? Answer, no. question. Could you describe the arms? No, didn't really notice its arms as much as its legs. Question, legs? Yeah, the thing the most remarkable to me about this thing was as I watched it from the time I turned on my headlights when we were looking straight at him. And he took maybe 3 strides to cover the distance that the headlights illuminated, 35, 40 feet. So I would say he had to have at least a 5-foot stride, and he moved very quickly, and his legs were very straight when compared to a human when he walks. This animal kind of swung them straight with very little bending of the knee. Question, was it running or walking? Answer, walking. Could you see if it was male or female? Answer, no, but if females have breasts, then I would say that it was a male because I didn't see any breasts. Question, how long did you see this thing for? Answer, I saw it twice. Once while I was heading down the trail, when we were heading down the trail, and then I would say that was probably a total of about 10 seconds. Then I got back into the car, turned on the headlights, and I think I saw it for a grand total of 3 or 4 strides. So that would probably be about another 10 seconds. Did it ever make any noise? Answer, yeah. Like I said before, it made it sound like a bull when he's chasing you. I can remember that because I was chased by a bull once. So it stands out in my mind. I guess it would. I reflected on that sound later because I don't think a human being could imitate that sound because it was so like it was like an animal with a big throat and blowing a lot of air. Question, was it a snort, scream, grunt? Answer, well, snort. Question, did it see you? Answer, most definitely. Question, what do you think its reaction was? Answer, well, I would say that this animal was never scared. He was 10, maybe 15 feet away from us, looking straight at us. I would say he's more startled than anything, like we were coming down the trail right towards it, and all it did was like run or snort at us. Question, when you were walking down the trail and it was standing there watching you? Answer, yes, looking straight at us. Question, did you smell any powerful odor before or during the sighting? Answer, no. Question, after it moved off, did you check for footprints? Answer, yes, I did. But in that area, like I said before, it was rocky with a little bit of moss on it. Didn't really look for tracks till the next day. So you could have had an elephant move through that area and it wouldn't have left prints. It would be not too easy to distinguish. Question, did you check for footprints right after the sighting? Answer, no, the next day. Question, did you report what you saw to park officials or police? Answer, to the warden in the Waterton Lakes National Park. Question, what was his reaction? And I think he believed we saw something. He tried to tell us that it must have been a bear, but overall, I would say he was very objective. And if another sighting came up, he would want to know about it. If it was afraid, he didn't want it scaring any campers away. But I would say it was about 50-50 in his mind. If he really believed we saw what we think we saw. Question, in your own words, describe what happened. Answer, we were sitting at the picnic table playing cards. And it was fairly windy night because our cards blew off the table and we had to pick them up. It got late enough, I decided that I was going to go to bed. So we went to the car and got our toothbrushes and stuff. And we, being his wife and himself in brackets, and then we started walking down the trail towards the washings. maybe 300 feet away around the corner, we heard this noise, a snort I described before. Susan said, "I'm scared. I don't want to go there." I'm not sure of her exact words, but it was something like that. But I thought it was a deer because there are lots of deer around here. So I kept pulling her down the trail until she finally said, "It's a bear." And then everybody ran for the cars. But I didn't believe it was a bear. Susan gets scared every once in a while. So I was walking back, looking over my shoulder to see if I could see anything. I didn't see it again, at least on the trail, that looked anything that looked like a bear. It looked like a large human. It was really dark, black, and it was standing right on the trail. When I got back to the cars, we all got into the cars. Susan and Darn in one car, they turned on their headlights, but they were facing the opposite direction. I finally got the lights on, and this creature took 3 or 4 strides across the area of my lights on the ridge, and it walked through the bush in that direction. It waved his arm in front of me from right to left as I was interviewing him on this. And I got pretty excited about it because I thought this must be what everybody says is a Sasquatch. So I jumped out of the car and ran back and to talk to Darwin. And as I walked, and I wanted to go chase after it, see what it was. But my wife was not very keen on that idea. And we got into the car and drove around the campground. As we drove around, after a while, somebody came down and flashed their headlights at us. A big truck. And there were 3 or maybe 4 people in the front. And they said, "Have you seen anything?" And we said the same to them. And they described this creature that they had seen. There was one guy, 2 girls, that went down in the bathroom. And as they were coming back, they said they heard a noise. And they looked and saw this big creature that they thought was a Sasquatch. And that's what they said. So I don't think they saw it as well as we did, though. Question: you told the warden the next day? Answer: yes. And he tried to convince you it was a bear? Hey, well, I was kind of reluctant to report it. It was the first because I thought, what's going to come out of this? Probably nothing. People are going to think we are cranks. But Susan and Sharon finally talked us into going to the warden and reporting it. We told him the story, and like I said, I think he only half believed us that it was a Sasquatch and half believed it when we saw a bear. Question: the written report you give me, who wrote it? Answer: Darwin. Now, that was our 2 main witnesses, Susan Ray Adams and her husband, Darwin, or Scott Stoness at the time. They have since broken up and are no longer together. Now, the second couple at that time was a real nice couple named Darwin J. Gillies and Sharon Sanko. They were boyfriend and girlfriend then, but in the decades after this, they got married and had literally an infantry company of children. Darwin J. Gillies, who is the one who wrote out the written report for the Park Warden's Office, was the next to be interviewed. Darwin G. Gillies, would you state your full name, please? Darwin J. Gillies. I'm not sure if it's pronounced Gillies or Gilles, being a French name.
Giles.
Some people pronounce it Giles, but I remember talking to him and interviewing him, and he said Gillies. Oh, I don't know. Oh, or maybe it was Giles. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I listened to it. So I'm gonna go with Giles now, just in case I've been wrong.
Sure.
Yeah. Darwin J. Giles. Darwin J. Giles.
What a name.
Where does this occur? Site C3 Crandall Lake Campground, Waterton Lake National Park. Question: what date does this place? May 23rd, about 12:50 a.m. It was night or day, at night or early morning. What time was it? Oh, 12:50 a.m. Describe the area in which it took place. Answer, typical campground, central gravel run. And we were on an elevated campsite, oh, maybe 3 feet high off the main path. Question, what distance do you estimate you were from the creature when you saw it? When I initially saw the creature, it was roughly 20 to 30 yards away. What was your first reaction? My first reaction was surprise. I thought initially it was a practical joke because I knew it was no bear. Question, what was it doing? It was walking away in front of the car, sort of a three-quarter mark of an angle away from us. Question, did it walk right on two legs? Answer, yeah, it was walking on two legs when we saw it. Question, do you ever see it go down all fours? Answer, never. What color was it? Answer, black. How tall would you estimate this creature to have been? Answer, initially I thought it was quite tall. I think it my anxiety or whatnot. After talking to Scott, we estimated about 8 feet tall and measured on a tree it was standing beside or went beside. Question, what would you estimate its weight to have been? Oh, 300 plus pounds. Did you see any facial features? Nope, none at all. Question, could you describe the arms? And they were long arms. It was a lanky type creature, so the arms, I would say, came well past the waist. Question, could you see if it was male or female? Answer, no, not at all. Question, how long did you see this thing for? Answer, about 3 or 4 seconds. Question, did it ever make any noise? Answer, initially when Scott and Susan left the campground and walked towards it, it made a loud snort or grunting sound. And when they thought it was a deer and continued to walk toward it, it grunted again. So he basically saying he heard the snort and the grunt, and he was back in the campground. Did it see you? Yes, it did. What was its reaction? Answer, I believe it was just curious. It stood near our campsite distance. I'm convinced that it was watching us for quite some time at the campsite. The reason being is when the cards blew off the table earlier, about 15 minutes before this incident occurred, the cards blew off the table in the wind. I thought I heard this creature before make this sound because one of us ran towards the bush to retrieve some of the cards. So I'm convinced that it was standing there watching us, maybe with curiosity. I don't think it was afraid of us. Question, did you smell any powerful odor before or during the sighting? Answer, no, we were upwind. Question, after the creature moved off, did you check for footprints? Answer, the next morning we did. We didn't check any that night. We weren't going anywhere near the bush. Question, did you report this to park officials or police? Answer, yes, we did, the park officials. Later on, I told some people about it, and they were, you know, pure skeptics out there, like I was before. In your own words, describe what happened. As I said, we were playing cards. About 12:30 a.m. or so, myself and Shannon sat by the campfire. Scott and Susan joined us, and after a short while, Scott and Susan decided they were going to get ready to go to bed. So they were going to go brush their teeth. They grabbed their two brushes and began to walk down the path. As soon as they walked out of the campsite, we heard the first grunt or sound. And I jumped up. And Scott says, it's just a deer. And he grabbed Susan by the hand and continued down the path. And this thing grunted again. This time Susan said something like, that's not a deer. That is a goddamn bear. A little more descriptive. And as soon as she said that, I was up, and so was Shannon, and I believe it was Shannon who said, let's move calmly towards the cars. But it was a free-for-all for the cars. We just sprinted. And in the confusion, I ended up in the same car as Susan, and Shannon and Scott ended up in the other car. Our car was facing towards the bush, sort of away from where this thing was sighted. Susan was quite excited and she wanted to honk the horn. I stopped her from honking the horn. And I looked back towards where we had seen the bear, so-called bear. And I saw this very tall, skinny shadow. And I thought, what is it doing up on its back legs? Basically, they should come down and go on all four legs if they are, you know, standing up. I turned on the headlights of our car. I couldn't see anything. I rolled down my window and I yelled to Scott to turn on the headlights since his car was facing the other direction, and he turned them on. That's when all four of us saw the same thing plain as day. It was leaving our camping area, our campsite, walking on an angle away from us, across the beam of the headlights to the trees. It was about 4 or 5 feet into the bush. There's no mistake about what we saw. The thing walked upright. It was about 8 feet tall. It was swinging its arms, and it definitely had arms and legs. When I reported to the wardens, I referred to them as arms and legs, not hind legs. This thing was walking upright. After it was gone, Scott came running back to me quite excited and said, "Did you see that thing?" I said, "Yeah." And he grabbed, and we grabbed the girls and piled into his car and went looking for it. We didn't see it again. We were circling around the campground, talking quite excitedly about what we had seen. We saw another truck coming towards us. We flashed our high beams at them, and they came to a stop. We rolled down our window and asked them if they had experienced anything strange in the night. There were four people inside that truck, three of which said they had seen something big and black. And when they were on their way to the washrooms, they were in site B. And if you roll up that map of the camp, right, you'll see site, they were somewhere in site B, the people in the other truck. They're actually a little closer to the washroom. Which site, I don't know. But they were, these people in the other truck apparently were in site B. And I walked, I asked them for a time, and they said about, 12:30. So just before us. I'm convinced that they saw the same thing. And they did, but they did not report it. Steinberg note here. The next day, Don wrote out a handwritten report from the park warden's office, a copy of which I have for this file. Now, Alan Deb told me, I interviewed Alan Deb too. He was the park warden on duty that day. He was perfectly willing just to hear the story and leave it at that. But it was Darren Gillies. It was him that insisted on making a handwritten report for the park warden's office. As far as I know, that report is still on file in the park warden's office in Waterton Lakes National Park. Now, our fourth and final witness was Sharon Sanko. Would you state your full name, please? Answer, Sharon Sanko. Where did this incident occur? Answer, Waterton Lakes National Park. What date did this take place? The May long weekend. Was it night or day? It was at night. What time of night was it? Oh, I think it was around 1 o'clock at night. Basically 1 o'clock in the morning. Describe the area in which it took place. Oh, the camp site itself is open. You know, a lot of trees. Nice. Okay. What distance would you estimate you were from this thing when you saw it? No, 20 feet maybe? What was your first reaction? I thought it was a bear, so I was scared. I ran for the car. What was it doing? It was standing there. And standing, walking two legs? Answer, yes. Did you ever see it go down all fours? Answer, no, never. Was it covered in hair? Answer, yes. What color was it? Answer, I couldn't tell the color, but it was dark. Question. How tall would you estimate this thing to have been? Answer, between 7 and 8 feet. Question, what would you estimate its weight to have been? Answer, oh, that's a good question. I would say, oh, very heavy, at least 300 pounds. Question, did you see any facial features? No, none. Question, could you see if it was male or female? No, but I would guess it was male. Question. Could you describe its arm? Long, very long and hairy. Question. How long did you see this creature for? When we saw it in the car lights, it could have been no more than 20 seconds, 10 to 20 seconds. Question. Did it ever make any noise? Yes. Could you describe it? Answer. It was some type of grunt. Did it see you? Answer. Yeah, I'm sure it did. Yes. What was its reaction? Well, I think it was just been watching us for a while, and then it wandered off on its own way. Question. Did you smell any powerful odor during this sighting? Answer. After the creature moved off, did you check for footprints? Answer. The next day we did. We didn't find any. Oh, by the way, the answer that I forgot to mention, the answer to the smell question on here was no. Did you report what you saw to park officials or police? Answer, yes. We talked to the game the morning the next day. Their own words describe what happened. We've been playing cards. And we decided to sit around the fire for a while. Susan Scott decided to brush her teeth. And they started walking down the path towards the washroom. There was a noise. Susan jumped back. She was startled, and Scott said, it's just a deer, and started to drag her down the path. And then we heard her scream. Gets a little worse with each witness. We heard her scream, that's no deer, and then we looked up, and you could tell that this tall, dark outline against the trees. I thought it was a bear too, but at all, but we turned around, we raced for the cars as fast as we could. And we got into the car, Scott and I in one car, Susan and Darwin in the other. The cars were back ends together, and our car was facing the bush. Darwin turned on his lights on the other car, and then we turned on the lights of our car. That's when we saw it wasn't a bear. And we could see this thing from the side view walking through the bush. Saw it take about 10 steps. And it was really long. And it was dark hair. And it was a gait almost like that of a human being. Even when we turned the lights on, it didn't speed up or try to hide from us. It was just as if it was going on its way and wasn't being bothered by anybody. By the time we realized what we was actually looking at and sort of got our act together, we tried to follow it, but we never saw it again. A little while later, we ran into the other people who said they saw something similar in a pickup truck. And as you saw, Darwin actually wrote out, here's a copy of the written report Darwin did for the park warden's office, which basically just tells the story all over again. It's right there. And that's what's on file in the park warden's office in Washington Lakes National Park. The park warden at the time was a nice fellow named Alan Dimm. And as you know, park wardens are kind of like soldiers in the army. You can be posted to this park 1 month, posted to another park the next month, and that sort of thing. Alan Dimm had been there, and he told me he did everything he could at the time to try and convince these people it was a bear they were looking at. But he said the most impressive, they wouldn't have any of that. One interesting thing to note is, personal note in this case, I was never able to track down who the people were at Site B. The people in the pickup truck.
The truck, yeah.
Yeah, I never was able to track them down. Now, we can't discount the possibility that these people had pulled off some prank of some kind and were just hanging around to see if they'd been successful. That's a possibility, but I doubt it. Because it appeared there were four people in the truck, but only three of those four people allegedly saw something. So we don't know. Matter of fact, Susan said one of them appeared to be quite drunk. So.
Their descriptions, I don't think they gave these couples any kind of descriptions except to say we saw something dark. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had a descriptions that would have matched these couples, that would be a real feather in the cap on this report.
And one thing good of the report is both men are engineers and both the women are school teachers. I used to get asked quite often when I was in the Calgary region to go talk to school kids about the Sasquatch mystery. I remember going into one class, and this was years after a word, of course. What happened? Susan Stone S. walks in, and she's telling these kids, and I watched her tell these kids the same story she told me back in 88. Because she's a teacher, and they ask her to come in and tell about it as well. So, I don't know. In my opinion, this is one of the better incidents I ever looked at. It's one of my personal favorites. And I think someday it may be considered a Sasquatch classic.
Well, you know, it has all the earmarkings of a AAA sighting. I mean, I got witnesses. We got matching descriptions. We got matching vocalizations. The only thing keeping it from being a AAA report is that there was no footprints or hair samples or anything physical to back it up. Yeah. Tell me, were these people city people, these four? You say they're guys were engineers or?
Calgary. Uh-huh. From Calgary, yeah.
I enjoyed this report for a couple of reasons. You're right, it should be in the classics. I mean, Micah Mountain it didn't have the witnesses that this one has, but it had a detailed description of the creature, a highly detailed description of the creature at Micah Mountain. Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of witnesses. That you know would put Austin in and his imaginations to shame. It's just as many witnesses as Eight Canyon had. So I don't know. You know, I mean, this probably should be the top three, maybe the top three in Canada at the very least.
I know in Alberta, when it comes to the Sasquatch mystery, this case ranks right up there with the Bighorn Dam. It's fascinating, and there were. And since this happened, there have been other reports in Waterton Lakes National Park and reports in around the Crandall Campground again as well. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks after that, after this happened, there was an incident in Upper Twin Lakes where a man with a bunch of, they're not Boy Scouts, but it's kind of like a boys camping troop, had something rummaged through one of the lean-tos because they were all on a fishing trip in Upper Twin Lakes. And one of the boys got a glimpse of it, described it as an upright talking, walking ape thing. And because of what just happened in Crandall, that's why the park wardens were so interested in it. Last time I talked to Alan Dibb, the warden, he still said, it's hard to believe in any of this, but he said no matter how hard he tried, he could not convince these people that it was a bear they were looking at or some guy in a silly suit. And Alan Dibb, the last time I talked to him, he had been transferred to a park up in the Yukon somewhere, and even that was 20 years ago. So where he is now, I have no idea.
But it's strange why he would go through such odd at the same time why he would go through such great lengths to convince them that it was a bear they saw. You know,
but that seems the logical answer that most people jump to.
Yeah,
and that area of Alberta Southwest Waterton Lakes National Park has a ton of bear population. They got a lot of black bears. I've seen them there myself. And they have a pretty healthy grizzly population, too.
Yeah, well, you've been to the Crandall Campground, right? You've been to the site.
It's a beautiful site. It borders...
Now, you said this took a long weekend, May long weekend?
Yeah, it's usually pretty crowded. If you don't get there early, forget it.
Yeah, so I take it at the time this happened, the campsites were pretty vacant.
Yeah, it was, apparently, yeah.
Because these people had to walk right by campsite number 2, and then they had to walk by number 9 down in the next section.
If you bring that map up again.
Sure.
Map of the campground up again.
Okay, as you can see.
Now, they told me most of C3 was empty at the time when this happened.
Okay.
And they said there was a couple of boys camping in Site H in Site 5. And they was funny because they're kind of like, they had a little pump tent. Their feet were sticking out of the end, but most of the rest of the campsite was empty.
So there
was nobody there. So yeah, their seed tree, that's where they were.
They had three, and five was also occupied.
Yeah, five was occupied by two guys who were sort of like mountain bikers.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. And they said it was kind of funny because they were sticking out, their feet were sticking out the bottom of this little pup tent.
Like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah. But most of the rest of Site 8 was empty at the time. This thing went off towards,
okay.
Can't see it on that version of the map there, but Blackstone Brook is in the upper right-hand corner.
Oh, so it's up here somewhere.
Yeah, well, it runs all along that flank. It comes down and bends down. So, and this area down here below C and H is all trees. And that's basically the course it ran off in. Yeah, like what you're drawing right there, yeah.
Yeah. So these guys down in B, was where about, to the best of your knowledge, did the encounter take place right on the edge of 2 here in Site C?
Basically, yeah, between 2 and 9 in Site B. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that area, yeah. Roughly, yeah.
Because the
two witnesses who stayed back at the camp said they could still see them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got back to the camp pretty fast after the encounter. So they couldn't have been very far away. I liked it when I first read about the Crandall campground and about the story that she had, the couple who went to the cleaning stations, that she described it very well without really describing it in detail, that they left the campsite walking away from the fire. It was getting darker as they went along. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she could just make out this vague black form in the path ahead of them.
Yeah.
And
it was silhouetted because of the low light bulb on the door entrances to the washrooms.
Yeah, yeah. And then it huffed at them.
Yeah.
Huffed and puffed, and that was enough for her. She was out of there, gone. And, if that's something you'd want to meet on a trail at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. April, August, they had plenty of time to discuss it among themselves before they got...
The only reason I heard about it at all is Susan Rayon saw my ad in the Alberta Press.
Boy, ads do pay off, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You got some of your most interesting cases that way. So, anyway, folks, that's it for the Crandall Campground mystery. If you're interested in reading about the Crandall Campground or any of the other encounters, reports that we have made here thus far about Alberta, pick up Thomas's book, Sasquatch in Alberta. A revised edition. I have both of them, and it's good to have a little bit of a follow-up on some of those original reports. It's well worth it. I mean, looking for Sasquatch in unlikely places, Alberta comes to mind, but they're there.
I also wrote about it quite extensively in Search of Giants as well.
And we'll be touching on that in a future podcast. And after this podcast, we're going to be leaving Alberta, like I said the last time, and heading across the Rockies, and we're going to start picking up from 2000 on about sightings and happenings that Thomas has been a part of, and there's lots more to come. That's just the first book. There's several more books to go through, so there's going to be plenty of reports. And you come listen to them right here. And don't forget, for you guys and gals who are listening to this on podcast, it's also available on YouTube. In case you were sitting there with your iPhone wondering, what's all this talk about maps and everything? Well, that's on the YouTube version of this podcast. And so please tell your friends, tell your neighbors about it. If you like it, come on, subscribe, you know, say I like. Let us know if we're doing something right or doing something wrong here. But anyway, That's it for today. And I want to thank Thomas again for his time and perseverance in getting just these stories.
Just like to mention, if you'd like to hear all four of this case and their own voices, I do believe I posted the Crandall Campground incident on my YouTube page.
Okay, I'll be putting that YouTube page up on my page, my Facebook page, and also YouTube as well. I'll be putting
just looking for case file 50032.
50032. And or you can just email Thomas at, it's real simple, sasquatch.talus.net. And it doesn't get any more simple than that. I know he'd appreciate hearing from you. And okay, well, Thomas, thank you very much. It's been an entertaining spell again, as usual. And we've got a lot more to go through in the future.
Roger that, sir. Enjoy it.
Okay, sir. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thank you, listeners, too, as well.
Okay, dear listener, that about wraps it up for now. My name is Jerry Matthews. You can reach me at yellowcoyote@talus.net. Thank you for your interest, and until the next time, keep searching.